Junior Tynwald sat last month, and as we heard on last week's agenda, it was a very thoughtful and well-considered sitting. On agenda this evening, we hear the debate on a motion which considered what can be done to counter the dangers of social media. We also hear from some of the students who took part and one of their teachers. But we'll start with a health question, which Health Department member Diane Kelsey, MLC, answers.
On to question 11. Call on the Honourable Member for Arbury-Castanmalew, Ms Berry.
I'd like to ask the Minister for Health and Social Care what measures are being taken by Manx Care to reduce over-expenditure.
Call on the Member for Health and Social Care to reply.
The financial position for the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care is of fundamental importance to the Isle of Man. That's to all of us. As a statutory board of the Isle of Man Government under the Manx Care Act 2021, Manx Care is an arm's length organisation which is overseen by a board of directors who are responsible for overseeing the operations and finances of Manx Care, including delivering the mandated services within the financial allocated budget, or the allocated financial budget. Manx Care continue to provide monthly finance and performance reports to the Department and to the Treasury, setting out its performance of the year to date, its forecast outturn or projected spend for the full financial year. And in fact, we will have heard in the news this morning and last evening that the latest report is out. Regular meetings are held between Manx Care and the Department, and also the Department and the Treasury, to discuss the results and forecast, identify potential issues at the earliest opportunity, along with the actions that could be taken to address these issues. Manx Care, with the support of the Department, have engaged improvement directors with the specific aim of reviewing and improving processes to ensure that they are delivered in the most efficient and effective way. The department will also be commissioning an independent governance review of the health and social care system that will, amongst other things, focus on financial governance, who makes the decisions on where money is spent. Additionally, each year Manx Care also have this cost improvement target and cost improvement program, or CIP. For the 25-26 financial year, the target has been set at 1% of the annual funding amount. This level of annual saving target, is included within the indicative budgets for the following years.
Supplementary, Mr. Hickey.
Why is there not stricter regulations on what Manx Care can actually spend and not live within its means? Why is there not stricter regulations on that?
Member to reply.
I think the strict regulations across all budgets are forecasts of what we expect to spend across all of government. Sometimes things don't go the way we plan. But you're quite right, in some areas we need to have more discipline and we need to understand as early as possible why things are going awry. And that is what now Manx Care and the Department are working very closely with Treasury to ensure that we can come in on budget this year.
Supplementary, Ms Evans.
Can the Minister justify the significant over-expenditure on Manx Care when waiting lists continue to grow and patient care remains under strain?
Member to reply.
I think it's very difficult to use the word "I can justify it." No, nothing can ever be justified if we're overspending of taxpayers' money. But I can assure all honourable members in this court that we're doing our very best to understand why there are overspends and ensure that we can get control of it.
Supplementary, Ms Perry.
I'd like to ask the Honourable Member which sectors within the health service have actually been cut. As detailed on government websites, there have been reductions in spending and staffing, and I'd like more detail, if available, on which ones that is.
Member to reply.
I haven't got the specifics, so I won't blag or try and make it up. What we've done in the cost, well, what Manx Care has done in the cost improvement programme is try to look at where can we be doing things better, and actually listening to patients and the public to say, why am I going to Liverpool to just be told I could have done this on a telephone call? There's a range of different things that are being looked at by experts who are medically trained, who are talking to the guys on the ground and patients. And so I won't say what's been done because I haven't got that detail, but I can assure you there has been millions of pounds taken out of the budget that is then reinvested in other services. Thank you, Mr. President.
On the supplementary, Ms. Weldon.
Thank you.
How do you plan to fund Manx Care in the future, and specifically relating to the island's ageing population?
Member to reply.
Thank you, Mr. President. Obviously, we have our annual budget process, and we will every year be listening to, well, we'll see what we spent last year, or was spent last year, see what is needed for the future and what the demands of the population are. And that's an ongoing conversation with Treasury and in this Honourable Court.
So, Honourable Members, we now move on to item two, and it is modern dangers of social media. I call on the Honourable Member for Legislative Council, Ms. Jones, to move.
Mr. President, Honourable Members of Tynwald, today I rise to speak in support of the motion that Tynwald believes the Isle of Man government should take all necessary steps to ensure our education system properly addresses the modern dangers and challenges of social media and how it affects younger generations. As technology and social media progresses faster and faster, more young people are being affected by the dangers of social media for many different reasons, as social media can shape their self-image, attention spans, and mental health. I believe it's the government's responsibility to ensure that the education system evolves to protect and prepare young people for the dangers of technology and social media. Firstly, we must protect young people's mental health. More young people are starting to struggle in school, but also outside of school due to social media. Things like TikTok and Instagram are filled with edited pictures. Apps like TikTok are filled with sad and sometimes disturbing videos that create ideas in young people's heads, thinking that they should feel or act a certain way. Because of social media, apps are made particularly to make you become addicted or to doom scroll, many parents and young people don't realise this is happening to them. The government needs to do more in not just schools, but also educating parents on the harms of social media, as most of the time things that happen on the phone can be hidden from parents and warning signs aren't always so clear. We need to teach students how to spot harmful patterns and to understand healthy online habits and how to protect their well-being. We can do this by including mandatory lessons where students learn digital literacy and how to cope and understand their feelings, which also goes alongside with teaching parents how to recognise warning signs. Secondly, we need to tackle cyberbullying. Unlike bullying in real life, online bullying doesn't stop when students leave school. It happens when they are in the comfort of their own home, often in secret. Schools must teach young people how to recognise and report any type of cyberbullying. Schools and parents need to educate their students and children on the real effects of cyberbullying and not just the punishment for it, but by learning how much it can impact others around them and themselves if they were the bully or the receiver of it. Teaching young people empathy towards others and themselves is the first step in creating a better environment for everyone. Thirdly, we face the problem of misinformation. False information spreads like wildfire, online from conspiracy theories to fake news and scams. Without the skills to think critically and check sources, young people are vulnerable to manipulation. Digital literacy must be a core skill in our schools, just like reading and writing. Some may say this is a parent's job and not the school's, but not every family has the knowledge and confidence to teach their children about the harms of social media. This is why I think it would be more beneficial to use schools as a place to teach young people this. Others may argue that teachers are already under enough pressure, but these lessons don't need to stand alone. They can be put into existing subjects like PSHE and ICT, or delivered through special workshops and assemblies. This is not about adding more work, it's about making sure what we teach reflects the world we live in. This motion sends a clear message that the Isle of Man values its young people's safety, well-being and future. Let us ensure our education system moves with the times and gives every student the skill they need to thrive in this digital age instead of getting sucked into harmful dangers that are rapidly starting to affect a whole generation of people. Thank you.
Come on. Ms. Kane.
Thank you, Mr. President. Although social media does...
Ms. Kane, are you seconding the motion? No. Is there a seconder? The Speaker has seconded the motion, therefore we can now debate. It must be seconded first, so I now call upon you, Ms. Kane.
Sorry, thank you, Mr. President. Although social media does definitely have its positive aspects, there are most certainly issues relating to it that need to be solved. I believe the issues of the lack of digital literacy and the modern dangers of social media should be cooperatively dealt with by the education system and parents. I believe that schools should strive to provide not only generalised education about social media, but also personalised education aims towards both parents and students. However, I believe parents also have a responsibility to ensure their children are safe online and to police what they have access to, as the schools are unable to do this themselves.
Colin, Mr. Hickey.
Thank you, Mr. President. When teachers in Manx schools are under mounting pressure to deliver GCSE and A-level results, and also grappling with growing student roles, and increasingly being asked to teach second, third, or even fourth subjects, and as the Honourable Member before pointed out, the recent advert for a humanities generalist, are we sure that adding another thing to teachers' workload will not dilute their main focus on our student education and make our educations weaker as a whole?
Go on. Miss Malpig.
Good morning, my Director N. I'd like to make a contribution on behalf of the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. So the department does actually have a digital citizenship programme of study, which is one way that we are actually supporting our young people from key stages 1 to 5, which does teach students how to use technology safely, respectfully and responsibly. And there are a number of focus areas within that, which includes addressing the balance between social media and wellbeing, news and media literacy and privacy online. When the nature of the variety of lessons and resources which schools can draw upon in which ways they best suit their learners. So just to address a couple of the points that were raised, we do acknowledge that social media is, you know, has to be used safely, and it's part of our responsibility as an education department to make sure that that safety, media safety, is critical. It's equally important for schools to foster a community that is inclusive, safe, and is based on shared values such as respect, empathy, and kindness. And so it is part of our responsibility to further equip those young people and to help them to make responsible and healthy choices online for themselves and for their peers.
I call on Ms. Grush.
Social media will undoubtedly play an integral role in the next generation's life, and so we must ensure that while educating young people on how to safely use technology, teachers should also be equipped to teach about the positive elements, rather than just create an environment of fear and anxiety around technology. I believe that the solution of banning smartphones in schools altogether creates the perspective of technology being inherently negative, which takes away from the fact that technology also offers opportunities for socialising, entertainment and staying informed about the modern life.
Colin, Ms. Beggs.
I agree. The role of teachers isn't just to teach students curriculums and courses, it's to build a relationship with the students and care for them, and even including courses and PSHE such as ones that vary less and really teach us how to be safe online. The role of a teacher and the role of a teacher isn't just to help students with their learning, but to help them grow as people too.
Call on the mover to reply to debate before the vote. This mover, comment on the people who have contributed and thank them.
Thank you. What was said about how the teacher's workload is about how we don't need anything else added to it, I still think it is a very important thing for many students, because at the end of the day, how we feel within ourselves reflects on our education and how well we work and how well we do in our exams and different things like that. And I think that teachers should really help us to be able to feel confident and safe using our phones and other technology. Thank you.
Very good. So, honourable members, we now come to vote on this motion. I will now ask all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, please say no.
There's
division called.
There's the buttons under on your desk.
There's buttons there, so everyone voted. No. You get, yes, absolutely. Sure, motion.
There you go. Mr. President, in the House of Keys, 22 votes for, 1 against.
Legislative Council, 8 votes for, 1 against. Therefore, motion is carried.
That was part of the July sitting of Junior Tynwald. So what did St Ninian's pupils and their teacher make of the sitting?
I'm Sarah Crisford. I'm Head of Social Science at St Ninian's High School.
I'm Poppy Gerald, and I go to St Ninian's High School.
I'm Freya Beggs. I go to St Ninian's High School.
And, well, we start off with yourself, Junior Tynwald. Is that your first experience of Tynwald and politics?
Well, I do politics as an A-level, and I'm also on the Youth Select Committee on the island, so I have two other experiences, like prior experiences, but nothing really like Junior Tynwald, which was really useful for me to find out more about like the legislative and decision-making process.
And that Youth Select Committee, that's a really important relatively new innovation, in that effectively students from all around the island sit on a committee, which Tynwald... Not just Junior Tynwald, the real, the grown-ups Tynwald, if you want, they do actually take note of what the Select Committee, the Youth Select Committee, has to say.
I think it's really useful and really a really effective resource to have as well, because it provides like another platform for the younger generation to have a voice.
And what did you make of Junior Tynwald? Are you inspired to become an MHK as a result, or are you... not.
I think Junior Tynwald was really interesting to get the answers to some questions that obviously young people have been thinking about. But there was a few questions that were either worked around or not completely answered. But I wouldn't look into being an MHK.
And what of the great... skills of a minister is not answering the direct question that they're given. And did you feel that the ministers were doing some of that?
Yeah, there were quite a few questions where when you'd ask, there were some people, like someone would ask a question and then they'd give a broad answer, and then if they tried to follow up, they'd say they'd already answered it, or whereas they actually hadn't answered the specific question, they just answered topics around it, where some questions were answered completely and then some were just told we haven't actually looked into it, but just in better words, so they might not have done as much research or had as much data as they probably could have.
And do you think sometimes it's a case of perspective, that one person might think they've answered a question, whereas the person asking the question might think, well, no, that they haven't even come close to this?
I feel like, do you mean some people feel that they have answered and some don't? Yeah, I'd say a few people, whoever's asking the main question probably has a more specific side to it that can't be said how they're trying to say it, so they may ask a question and it may get answered to a side that someone else may have viewed the question as, whereas it might have had a specific meaning to that person, which obviously an answer didn't come across as that.
And certainly there were many questions that were answered, and I thought, I'm sure that's not answering the real thrust of this. Sarah, I mean, how do you prepare your students for these sorts of sessions?
I think it's important, and one thing I've worked on with my group this time is to prepare for the supplementary questions, really, because the ministers will give very often quite long-winded answers, and so it's a challenge, I think, for students to be able to listen really carefully to what's being said and respond to that. But it's a good idea for them to preempt what they think the minister is likely to say and come back at them with another question. And I think sometimes from a spectator's point of view, sitting up in the public gallery, often the responses to the supplementary questions are much more effective, because the minister or the person speaking for the minister has had to think on their feet, give a concise answer, and that's the student. Students get a bit more of what they want, I think, really. They're not, you know, they do want an answer. They don't want a long, you know, two-page summary of what that department's done and what their plans are. So I think preparing them for the supplementaries is the key, really.
And certainly it is the case that supplementary questions tend to get more of an answer than the initial question. If you are wanting to find something out from a minister, the last thing you want to do is ask them the direct question about what it is that you want. You then come in with the supplementaries. Did you have a chance to do any supplementary questioning?
I got to ask quite a few, and then I also asked my main question about the family library as well, which was good to be able to kind of give a voice to. So I thought that Jeannie Timbald was a great experience for that.
And were you satisfied with the answer David Ashford gave you?
I mean, I feel like there's more to it than that. I think the whole thing with the family library is very subjective. I feel like there's a lot that hasn't been reported on, and I feel like there's maybe more of like a voice that needs to be given to it.
And final question then, politics. What has politics meant to you? What interests you politically, if anything?
I don't take politics at school, so I haven't got a very wide knowledge around it. But there is certain topics that do interest me, like, for example, the question about the taxes and stuff like that. I was quite interested in their answers for that, and then again for the question I asked about affordable housing, and it was mainly for younger people as first-time buyers, which did get answered. So just more on certain topics than the whole thing in general.
Teacher and pupils from St Ninian's High School there. Finally, we hear from Olivia and Ellie from QE2. It seems I've got some competition.
Hi, I'm Olivia Bettridge and I'm from QE2.
And I'm Ellie Reynolds and I'm from QE2.
Okay, so you were sat on the press bench in this junior Timbald. What was your take home moment or experience from the whole junior Timbald?
I think the amendment was very exciting to watch, and I think observing and being in the press was very good. Being able to take notes and just taking it all in was very good. I very enjoyed it.
I think it was a very crucial experience to look into how the Manx Parliament works, because I think a lot of young people don't know the ins and outs of it, especially if politics isn't a subject offered at school. So to look into that was really interesting, and to kind of begin to think of how a journalist would think in that situation and how they would function was really interesting too.
And you're the junior bard, are you? So are you going to write up in sort of poetic style how the whole Timbald proceedings went?
I doubt it. It's not my kind of style, but I will say earlier on I was inspired by a cat outside, and I thought that would be interesting to write a poem about. It was a very fluffy little fat cat, and
I think it was very good that a lot of them also agreed with the students rather than just debating with them, and supporting the ideas of the younger people as well as the original ideas. I think it was very cool to also see some younger people overthrow the ideas that were originally set in place, but it was very nice to see them actually in person and see them just as normal people answering our questions.
There was some where I struggled and I thought, is this actually answering the question, or is this kind of just stating random things that aren't really relevant? And in that case, it's hard to take notes on what's happening then, because you're like, what am I going to write about this? Because it's just not relevant to what's been asked. But there were some very good points put across, especially by some of the MHKs. They were very well spoken and they had actual answers and information about what was being asked.
Quite a lot of the people answered the questions very well and did take into account other people's opinions, not just theirs.
So altogether then, are you thinking that you'll become an MHK? Do you enjoy that sort of whole political debate, or do you think it's maybe not for you? Or maybe you fancy becoming a member of the press?
I would more prefer to join the press. I think it's very fun to observe people and just interpret their opinions. Personally, I would not want to become a member, but I would like really enjoy the journalism side of it.
I agree. I wouldn't want to be an MHK or anything. Feels like a lot of pressure, and it's just not a route I want to go down. I'd much rather go down something to do with writing and journalism or literature, something like that.
And as far as people your age are concerned, I mean, you can vote, at the next general election. First question is, will you vote?
I've definitely thought about voting. I'm not really sure of the process of going about registering to vote and where to even find information on MHKs and who I can vote for, but maybe that's just something I need to research more myself.
Yeah, I fully agree. If I was to vote, I would definitely make sure I was a lot more educated on the topics rather than just going with anything. I'd want to make sure that I was properly voting, because improving our future would be a lot more stable than just going with whatever I thought. But yeah, I think schools maybe need to educate students more on the MHKs and stuff, because this is my first kind of interaction and properly knowing about it. So it was a good experience today.
And generally, would you say your generation is interested in politics, do they get the fact that we have our own national government, national parliament on the Isle of Man?
I don't think it's really fully understood. I think a lot of people our age are interested in politics, but it's more globally and how that affects things. Very much depends on the individual, but a lot of people I know are interested in global affairs. But I think it's kind of overlooked, the little things happening on our island, just because it seems so small in comparison to the rest of the world.
Yes, I think that the media needs to educate more young people about what is going on the island, and I think that would increase the growth of younger people being involved. I think, yeah, the media just needs a bit more exaggeration on the young people as well as the older people.
That was Olivia and Ellie from QE2. So what do you think? Does more need to be done to protect children from the harms of social media? Are you encouraged to hear the passion and care that students have put into this Junior Tynwald sitting? Let me know what you think by contacting Phil Gorn at manxradio.com and get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast on Manx Radio's website. For now, I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayo. Thanks for listening.